You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey there, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a on the day to begin your week. Good weekend. Good weather, school's back in session, everybody getting back into the groove. We are too, as football season begins this week in college football, as we try to find that groove, Tommy. It is, it's kind of got a little extra pep in the step this weekend. We get college football this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, K-State, the highly anticipated matchup with Iowa State overseas in Dublin on Saturday. We'll preview that throughout the week. Hopefully be able to connect with Tim Fitzgerald later this week while he's in Ireland. KU plays as well. So we've got both main teams that we follow in college football playing in this week zero, which will be a little different than what we're used to, but looking forward to previewing both of those games and getting back into football season.
Yeah, we'll have those for you as we make our way throughout this week. We'll have Chiefs coverage for you. They begin preps for their final preseason game. Training camp is complete. We'll react to the second preseason game. We'll begin our NFL previews today as well. In the Royals, they get it done. They do exactly what they needed to. They sweep the White Sox. Now on to the next one. You know, they make up some ground. They do some good things. Now they have a chance against another contender through the first four games, or first handful of games this week. To make some noise. We'll talk about it all. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, the just announced Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with more than a dozen more breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Should be a lot of fun. Tommy, how was the weekend? How was the beer drinking fest up at the Royals game?
You know, it was great. We went up there for Saturday night's game. It was an offensive onslaught from the Royals, and so that was fun. But man, it was hot. It was so dang hot up there at the stadium. So, you know, it was good, but, you know, kind of one of those where I think you call it the swamp ass alert. Like it was just like
swamp ass alert,
swampy, humid, sticky, whatever phrase you want to call it. So there was a lot of the free beer that was being consumed to kind of try to cool us down a little bit, but it was a lot of fun.
Did you have a nice nap on the way home?
I stayed up the entire way. Thank you very much.
Atta boy.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Although I did utilize.
It was better for
I did utilize my wife as the DD, though. So she drove us home. So, I mean, had I fallen asleep, okay, like my wife is driving, like whatever. It wasn't a buddy of mine that was driving.
That would have been worse.
My wife volunteered to drive us because she doesn't really drink. And so, and she was like pounding the waters the entire time. And so she volunteered to drive us home. But, it turned out to be a good night. We got back to Wichita at like 12:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. It wasn't bad. And then I threw a pork butt on the Traeger as soon as I got home. And so that went all night long. We had a great pulled pork dinner last night. It was a good weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Baseball, beer, smoking meat. That checks a lot of boxes.
Like a red-blooded American male weekend right there.
And not taking a nap on the way home.
It's very true.
I mean, you just knocked it out of the park with that one. That sounds pretty good. I was Mr. Mom this weekend.
Yeah, how'd that go?
My wife got back. It was fine. It was good. We do all the things that she never wants to do. Like we hit up Chuck E. Cheese. We went to couple of restaurants or let them get a game from the library that we played for a little bit. It was, typical dad stuff. But it was good. It was a good time and they had fun. And shout out to Crestview Country Club, great sponsors of the program and their tennis team for having some success at the, sectional rounds. That's one of the things we tell people all the time, give them a call. Our family has all found something there, whether it's the swim team for the kids, the activities, golf for me, tennis for my wife. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you and see what they've got for you. It was a good weekend. We're back in the school groove now. Like we're trying to find our footing. This week, last weekend was the first time for us, I think. I think we start. Last weekend was the last one for us where we are not booked most weeks, 6 out of the 7 nights of the week. 6 out of 7. We've got practices, school activities, games. Usually, sometimes I think it's even 7 out of 7, to be perfectly honest with you. But, I like it. I like now that they're older and they're like competitive in their different things. And like, you can actually like yell at the games and be supportive. I'm not a crazy person out there most of the time. But it's fun. Like I don't mind it at all getting out there and that's it. Like it's that stage of life, man. And we're probably looking at that for the next, I don't know, 10, 12 years. And then we'll come back to reality.
Yeah. We're not quite there yet with our boys. They're a little younger. Our 4-year-old starts pre-K today. So that'll be good.
That's a fun one.
It'll be fun.
That's a fun one.
And I think he's going to play basketball this fall. He's on a team, little team, 4-year-old team to play basketball. But this will be the first time that, we'll have like games to go to watch our kid play.
Those are cute and fun for like a week. And then you're kind of just like, all right, like let's, that gets better. I promise.
Yeah.
Like as we were there with all three and then now they're actually playing something and you can root for them and you have fun with their teammates and all that stuff. But it is, we'll preview the NFL season coming up over the next 2 weeks. Usually we'll just try to do like a division a day and then we'll go into our predictions for finishes, Super Bowl and all of that sort of thing. As we get through, we should be if that time's out right about a week ahead of the NFL schedule. So that'll be good. We'll start with the NFC South, today, which I think is actually one of the more interesting divisions, one of the more wide open divisions. Had my first fantasy football draft last night, Tommy.
Already?
That wasn't like on a cell phone app.
It's a little early.
It is a little early, but like when you are a degenerate, like you have so many of these things that everybody, and when you're, especially when you're playing with other degenerates, like everybody's in, 6-7 leagues these days, and you got to find the time on that, like, this is a guillotine league. that another buddy, you know, back home started up. And so it's just like, well, does it really matter when we draft? Probably not. So we got after it. It was fun. It was fun. Took Rashi Rice in that particular guillotine format. You know, you got to survive every week. I thought that was a pretty savvy pick. As we'll get into the Chiefs' second preseason games, we got some quotes here. He's going to be a part of things early on in this season. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, it's good news. You know, I read that the country of Brazil will actually let him in the country, which I think there have been a little bit of question about that. Like, will the pending legal issues or whatever, will the Brazilian government grant him access into the country? We got that word the other day that indeed, yes, they will. He will be allowed to enter the country despite everything that's happened with him, which is good. Actually, that was a legitimate concern for a minute.
I did not know that.
From the organization, would he get clearance to actually join the team?
Okay. Well, that's certainly promising if you're a Chiefs fan. We didn't even know if he was going to play in the game anyway until last week. But we'll preview that. The Chiefs got stomped in the second preseason game. Do we care? I watched a drive, and then I was back to baseball. But we'll talk about that when we return. What did we think of the Chiefs' second game? What can we take away from it? We'll get you through some quotes. We'll get you through some of the numbers. That's all coming up here as we get things going on a Monday. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. A lot of the time, that includes that AFC coverage, which includes the Kansas City Chiefs. You'll find it all on 12 News, by the way, as we come to you on 12 News Plus, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways. We appreciate you're here with us. So, Tommy, I think our gut was correct last weekend. I'm not sure if you saw the reporting this weekend with Tom Pelissero and Rashee Rice. So, according to Pelissero, Pelissero had this. The reason for this hearing that's coming on September 30th is because the NFL initially proposed a suspension for double-digit games. That's why the league and the Players Association couldn't agree, and that's why they set the hearing. So a lot there with the beginning part of that report that we'll get to in just a second, but there's a lack of precedence here for a suspension of more than half the season. That's why the NFLPA and Rice and his team are pushing back. That's where we get this. And so last week when we saw this, my first reaction, I think your first reaction was correct. Like, that means the league is wanting to be very harsh here, and and Rice and his side is going to push back as much as they can. That appears to be the case. I've always thought it seemed crazy that there was some 2-4 game expectation. I'm like, guys, like, this, what happened was insanely serious, insanely dangerous. We're incredibly fortunate that nobody died. All of these things, he fled the scene. So seeing a double-digit suspension proposal actually makes more sense to me based on what some of the things we've seen in the past. So now they're pushing back. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells me that, A, we were right that it's going to be real severe, and that's why we're seeing this hearing. But even if they come down with it, I think that 6-8 game thing that, you know, that I think some of us were initially thinking this would land is probably on the table. So if that's the case, and if it comes after the 30th, there's a real chance that Rice's postseason or late season could very much be in danger. I don't know how this lands. Now, the timing of it, I'm not sure. But I think if nothing else, and if you missed that report, it kind of slipped through the cracks this weekend. It tells us that the league's ready to come down hard.
Here's the other thing to keep in mind. Even though there's a hearing scheduled for September 30th, we're about 45 days away from that hearing. There could be a settlement before then,
right,
between the NFL and the NFLPA and Rashee Rice's team that could prevent him from playing in the first four games. Now, the expectation is that if it makes it all the way to the hearing by the time September 30th rolls around, obviously then he'll be playing in the games until that hearing happens. But there could be a settlement at any time. There is precedent for that, where there's been a hearing scheduled with an independent arbitrator and all of that to hear a case, but then both parties agree to settle beforehand and the hearing is canceled and all of that. So I know, and I'm you know, shouting you out because you just mentioned you took him in a fantasy football draft. There could still be something on the table where he doesn't start the season playing with the team. It's not a foregone conclusion that he will play in those first four games if there is a settlement. Now, knowing that the NFL, it sounds like, according to Tom Pelissero, wanted to have a double-digit game suspension, that would lead me to believe that they're pretty far away from having any kind of settlement. But you never know. There could be ongoing negotiations to get it down to, you know, where both sides feel comfortable. But I don't disagree with you that, you know, 6 to 8 is probably the range that we're looking at. We're probably going to meet somewhere in the middle. You know, there was an expectation. There was a report that came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago that the Chiefs expected 2 to 4 games. The NFL wants double digit. So you would think, you know, probably somewhere in the middle is the most likely scenario.
I'm not sure what Rice or the NFLPA or anybody thinks they have in this case to warrant a really short suspension. I really don't. Like, this thing has been settled in the courts, right? Two felony charges, all of the things. He fled the scene. Like, none of that's being disputed. The legal end of it is pretty black and white. So I've always been surprised at 2 to 4 games. I'm like, man, where's that coming from? 2 to 4 games. I think it was an optimistic take, but I don't know. Like, I have to imagine that the only thing that they can try to do is look at precedent, I suppose, and try to see what, you know, what else. But there hasn't really been another case like this. Unless you want to look at Henry Ruggs and try to, you know, remove the fact that somebody was seriously injured versus somebody wasn't as lucky and died. Like, I don't know. That's the closest thing. It was reckless. It was all the things that it was. And he ran away from the scene. Like, there wasn't, like, I know he came back and turned himself in and since then has done all the right things. And he does, by what he's saying, appear to has learned his lesson. Just because you learned your lesson doesn't mean you get to avoid the punishment that fits the crime. So I don't know what they're going to try to appeal to here to reduce this thing down as much as the initial reporting we've heard, especially if now after this report, the initial desire from the league was double digits. 6 to 8 feels about right. When it happens, who knows at this point. But the Chiefs, you know, they'll probably have him for the first little bit. I saw his number 4 jersey out there on Friday. He didn't do anything in the game, but he was out there. So we'll just treat it that way. From as far as the football goes, he'll be there for a few weeks. We know that part, and they play a handful of games, the first handful of weeks. So you go forward. As far as that game goes, Tommy, we did not see the starters. It was the Gardner Minshew game. The Chiefs were, I mean, they were kind of stumped. They only had 150 yards of offense in the game. Again, take what you want. Mahomes didn't play. Most of the starters didn't play. We saw Isaiah Pacheco get a catch and a long run, and then that was kind of it. Rashard Smith didn't get much run. We didn't see Royals, which tells me he really is a part of the early season plan for them. If they put him on ice, we saw a little Juju. The backs, it was Carson Steele leading the way. I only watched the first drive. I will fully admit that because the Royals were playing critical games right now. I kind of watched Simmons in the offensive line block it up for Gardner Minshew. They were out there. Moore, I believe, started at right tackle.
Yeah, that's right. Juwan Taylor didn't play.
And Suamata was in at left guard for the drives that I watched, and he did okay. But Simmons looked fine. Like, Simmons looked very comfortable. I think maybe even a little more comfortable than he looked to me. And I'm not, again, like everybody, like, I'm not an offensive line. Like, this is one of the hardest things I think for most of us to do is evaluate offensive line until you start real games and you can see them get beat and give up big plays. Like, it's pretty hard to evaluate, but to me, he looked very comfortable and better than what the Chiefs had most of the year back last year.
Yeah. I think generally speaking, when, you know, you mentioned Kingsley Suamata'i at left guard, I think generally speaking and watching the reps that he's gotten in the first two preseason games, I think he looks better at left guard than he clearly did at left tackle a season ago, right? It's an easier position to play, all of that. So that's number one. Number two, if you dial it in a little bit more, he looks fine in run protection and run blocking. He looks okay in that regard. He really struggles in pass protection. And he did on Saturday night. He did in the first preseason game. That's the major challenge. If you're going to be playing a team that has any kind of talent to get to the quarterback up the middle and between the tackles, then that's really where Suamataia is going to struggle. That's where he's been a liability in his entire NFL career, but even playing left guard in the first couple of games. So that's the weak spot in that line if he starts the season at left guard. It's going to be really intriguing to see what the Chiefs do in the third preseason game, if Juwan Taylor plays at right tackle and they move Jalen Moore over to left guard, or if they stick with Suamataia. And if they stick with Suamataia at left guard, I think everybody just needs to know, okay, like if he's going to be blocking for a run, cool. Like he can be serviceable at minimum. But the liability comes when he's got to try to protect in pass coverage and pass plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's we just don't know. Andy Heck was asked about Simmons' performance after the game. He said it's a big job. He was doing less physical work early on in the spring, but he's been able to add one or two of the details they need him to add every day. They've seen improvement. He doesn't give anything. He's they're not going to give us what we want, which is who's going to start here, right? Like they're not going to let us have it. And so
that's why we keep an eye on the last preseason game, right? Like that's all you can do.
I think, and to be honest, like I think they have a good, strong plan. Like let's say at wide receiver now, I think they probably know what they're going to do. Like they have a plan with the backfield. I think they have all those plans. I don't think they probably have it quite solidified on the O-line just yet. I think, honestly, though, that's not a bad thing in the sense that assuming Juwan Taylor is healthy, they probably have as much depth as they had hoped for, right? If Moore can swing and play guard and tackle, Suamataia, you're not going to put him back at tackle. I don't know what the plan. We haven't heard of anything about Wanye Morris this preseason, but I think they have some depth there now, and that's a good thing. And I think Simmons, for sure, Simmons is going to start at left tackle, and that's also a good thing. If we look back to 4 weeks ago when we started this whole thing, things seem to be coming along there. Minshew had plenty of time while those guys were in the game. So look, I think it's maybe not best case scenario, but it's as good as you could have hoped for when this started. And we'll find out. Will they play all of them? Will the unit that starts in this third preseason game be the unit that starts on week one? Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance that it will. Assuming the starters play like we anticipate, they did not play in this one. I do think they'll play in the next one. I think that's where we'll see kind of that 2-3 drive dress rehearsal situation. And probably at that point, we'll see the line that we're going to see in Brazil when they start the season against the Chargers.
Yeah, and it's really offensive line, I think, is the big question mark about, okay, who's going to actually start? All the other conversations, for the most part, is who's going to make the team? You know, like who's going to get a roster spot and who's not? And I don't know if there was really much to take away from the preseason game on Saturday as far as being able to assess who's going to get a roster spot and who's not. Your boy Sky Moore had a decent game. Like he had a good return at one point. There were some things that were positive that you could take away. But again, I don't know if you can really draw a ton of conclusions about who's actually going to get roster spots and who's not.
I don't either. If Sky Moore could play special teams, I think he'd get a spot. But he's not done well in that scenario before. But he's had moments. He's had moments of good and bad, I suppose. There. Look, I don't really care particularly what happens at sixth or seventh receiver. We always get excited about that stuff. Those players aren't going to, if those players are having to be impactful players this year, it's going to be a problem. It won't be a good thing if we're looking at, the sixth wide receiver is which one do you keep? Is he going to be that will mean some combination of, because we know Juju and Hollywood and now Rice and Worthy and Royals are good. Like there's five options for you. Plus Kelsey is a receiver. If we're getting past that, something bad has happened. And that doesn't mean none of those guys can come in and make a big play in a game. Of course they can, the way Andy Reid runs an offense, but it's just not that important. Certainly not as important as we've liked to make Justin Ross. I say we, but as much as like the, you know, the online community has made Justin Ross decisions the last couple of years. I think running back is probably a little more impactful. And what decisions are made there? Is it going to be Carson Steele? Is it going to be Elijah Mitchell? Who did Mitchell get any carries in this game? Yeah, he had 4 for 9 yards. I don't think Mitchell's going to make the roster. I think Andy Reid loves the idea of having a fullback. They list Carson Steele as a fullback all the time. I think Mitchell's going to be the odd man out. I think they're going to keep Steele as a fullback, and I think they're going to keep Smith, Hunt, and Pacheco, and that'll be the backfield.
It was a dart throw with Mitchell.
And sure, it was. Didn't mean anything.
Let's see if he's got anything left, and you know, low risk signing or low risk move from Kansas City to bring him in. I think that, you know, one of the players that kind of was that one of those low risk acquisitions that was a dart throw that may end up working out is Robert Tonyan, who had another good game. Yeah. By the way, I love that Travis Kelce calls him Big Bob, which is phenomenal. And so I would love to have him on the team this year just so we can call him Big Bob. But, I mean, he had another really solid preseason outing, and I think that he's probably one of the guys, at least offensively, that entered into these preseason games, and nobody really thought, at least externally, that he would get a roster spot, and he's probably played his way into one, I would think, as of right now offensively. So that's I think a positive coming out of Saturday's game too.
Just keep an eye on what it means for Kelce. I agree. I think they're going to keep 4. Jared Wiley's been back on the field. It's good to see him back. He's an intriguing talent that unfortunately got hurt in his rookie year. I think Tonyan is getting love because I really do think Kelce will be utilized differently than ever before this year. I think it's just like his body type was the first thing. Like, man, he looks less like a tight end and more like a receiver this year. They bring in a guy like Tonyan. They're probably going to keep 4 tight ends. I think, like, just don't be surprised if Kelce goes ham this year compared to last, right? Not like 4 years ago, Kelce, or anything like that. But he's been here. He's had, you know, you give that guy a full off season, and really a full off season and last season of talking about how he's old and soft and slow and can't do it anymore. I really think he's going to be a big time receiver this year.
Are you making that correlation because of what we've seen from Tonyan in the first 2 games?
I'm making that correlation because of what we're seeing from everything. Kelce's body type. I think how much they've emphasized Tonyan early on, the fact that I think they're going to carry 4 tight ends, like all of it just, I've thought for a while they're going to use him more than that. And it makes sense, right? If Kelce is getting older and doing those things, why wouldn't you try to utilize the skill set that can still make him lethal for you and limit the things that can hurt him as an older player, which is lining up on the line and trying to bail out a bad offensive line half the time, right? Like, take a little bit of that physical component out of him, keep him fresh, keep him doing the thing that, you know, what does Patrick Mahomes need Travis Kelce to do? Be an extra blocker or be his safety net, his connected brain out on the field to create the magic that they've created over the years? Like, it's pretty simple to me. Like, they just need him to do something else, and he kind of needs to do something else. They're going to carry a 4th tight end. I would be stunned if Tonyan doesn't make this roster. So yeah, line him up out there, do some different things with him, leave him on the line less, and put him as a pass receiver on almost every single play he's out there on a passing down. That's to me what I've seen for a while, and it's Travis Kelce. And I think he's going to have a big year. Let me pull up his numbers. I think Travis Kelce will have the most receiving yards, assuming health, obviously, which can always throw this. I'll bet you he breaks 1,000 yards. I bet he has the most receiving yards he's had since 2022. Tommy, the Royals do what we said they needed to do, and they get the sweep of the White Sox. Didn't need to be a series win. Needed to be a sweep, and it was a sweep, and they got it done. 3-1, 6-2, 6-2. They got it done the way they needed to get it done. They got some pretty good pitching in that series, which is promising. You and I were texting yesterday. They didn't gain much ground, if any, in the wild card, but they didn't lose any, which matters right now. I'm a tiny bit concerned. I won't say a tiny bit. I'm moderately concerned that they won't have enough pitching to run this thing down. But it was really nice to see the starters have a good collective effort through the weekend, for sure. I think all eyes now turn to Seth Lugo tomorrow night against the Rangers, and can he sort of get things turned around? But here's what, you know, when you play Texas, they've been very similar to Kansas City this year. They can really pitch. Their bullpen has been a little shakier lately. There may be your underbelly. That's what's cost them basically their contention in the wild card lately. There's that. And then they can, you know, they've got an offense that for a lot of the season underperformed that is getting a little better lately. This can be a tough series. Four games at home against a team that you are directly competing with. The Royals don't get a day off, Tommy, until next Thursday. I believe it is. So it is a lot of games. A lot of those will come on the road. This is tough. This is going to be a tough stretch of days here.
Yeah, I'm not going to, going back to what you said at the beginning of this, I'm not going to have my major takeaway from the sweep on the White Sox be that I'm moderately concerned about their starting pitching. My major takeaway my takeaway from the sweep of the White Sox is they did everything that they needed to do, and it was all phases of their game at one point or another that clicked in and executed for them on Friday night. And Saturday, for that matter, it was really good starting pitching. Noah Cameron had another really good outing. Michael Lorenzen, in his first start back, he didn't go deep into the game. He only pitched, I think, 5 innings, but it was an effective 5 innings for him. And that had been a question mark. He hadn't particularly had good rehab outings as he was working his way back from the injured list. But he had a good start on Saturday night. And then Ryan Berger gave up a home run in the first inning. But other than that, he settled in. Like, it was three games of really solid starting pitching from the Royals. And then the offense did what they needed to do. And it was the long ball, especially on Saturday night. That's really what did it in for them. I mean, I know that Mike Yastrzemski had another big home run. We saw Jonathan India with a big homer, a clutch homer yesterday that tied the ball game. And then the floodgates kind of opened. And then the bullpen, they also did what they needed to do as well in holding leads. And so overall, again, I know it's a team that in the White Sox are down in the cellar of Major League Baseball, but the Royals flexed a little bit and they showed that they can execute in all phases of the game. They're going to have to do more of that this week against the Rangers. It's going to be more difficult for them to do that against a team like Texas, but at least they've got that momentum going into this series.
Yeah, don't misunderstand. I mean, the White Sox, that was my takeaway from the White Sox series. My takeaway from the White Sox series is that they did what they were supposed to do, right? That's what you're either supposed to do, you either have to do, however you want to look at it. My takeaway at making up four games still in this wild card is my top, which is, it's just crazy to me that we come like full circle in this season. To me, the thing that could hold them back is starting pitching. They got a great pitching weekend, which was awesome to see. Can they do that against some of the elite level offenses that are coming up? That would be my biggest concern about making up four games over this stretch of time. Four against Texas, three against Detroit. They do get the White Sox again, and then it's Detroit again. But the next, you know, four, how many games is that? Four, six, 10 games. Their next 10 games. No, that's more than 10. Their next 13 games are going to be tough. But this is what you want, right? You want late August into September baseball. You want your baseball team to have a chance, and they absolutely have a chance. If they can keep hitting the way that they've hit since the All-Star break, basically, they're going to give themselves a chance. And they're hobbling in the bullpen and then rotation, and they're going to have to battle through it to get there. But you like their DNA, and it started with a sweep they had to have. Sweep they couldn't quite get against Washington, certainly didn't get it against Minnesota when they should have. But now you got it started right, and maybe that's a stretch of baseball. The game tonight will be Waka and Cameron. I'm not sure which I'm more confident in, but those are certainly the two guys you have the most confidence in right now. So you feel good about that. How about the rookie Burgert again?
Yeah, he was great.
He's been good.
He was really good.
If we come away from this season, Tommy, and this, we're nowhere near this, but just like just as a potential outcome, if they don't make it, if not, you know, if all the things that they did, like if they come out of this and Burgert is a starter in their rotation every year next year, there will be some success to that this year. He now has, that was his third start as a Royal, I believe. He has given up two or fewer runs each time, and he's made it into the sixth inning in each game. He hasn't finished six in any of them, but I'm not too worried about that at this point. But he's pitched into the sixth inning in all of them. He's given up two or fewer runs in all of them. He's giving the Royals a chance to win all the games he pitches in. And as we see injury concerns with some of these Royals right now that you project out, like if they do nothing else but have gotten him and all those deadline moves they made, it's going to be a good deadline.
Yeah, I don't have. I think you're more concerned about their starting pitching down the stretch than I am. I really outside of Seth Lugo, Lugo is the major elephant in the room, right? But outside of Lugo, I don't have a ton of concern. Waka has been really good lately. Cameron and Burgert have been really good lately.
Cameron's been really good. Burgert's been pretty good.
Burgert's been what they needed him to be. I mean, he's a rookie, like, and he hasn't shown any signs of letting up, which is great. I mean, really, the elephant in the room is Seth Lugo. They moved Bailey Falter to the bullpen, and so we'll see if there's any move for him back into the rotation at any point. But yeah, the elephant in the room is Seth Lugo, and I feel like an appropriate level of concern about what's going on with him. And I think tomorrow night's game will be pretty crucial to, you know, see if he can get the ship righted or if this decline continues and then, you know, the alarm bells start going off left and right with Seth Lugo. But other than that, I don't have really right now any major concerns about the starting. Lorenzen pitched great on Saturday. He pitched great.
He pitched four innings and he was bad in the minor leagues. I need to see more than that. I hope he's great.
He pitched four innings of shutout baseball in those four innings. Like he didn't, I understand that he didn't go deep into the game, but it's your first start back from the IL. And he turned it over to the bullpen and the Royals were able, they had a big lead at that point anyway. They had blown it open early in the game. And so, yeah, you turn it over to the bullpen. You let Lorenzen ease his way back into it. But in the small sample size, he was really good.
Yeah. He look, I'm not trying to take away from his game. I'm not also going to tell you that I'm not concerned about
him. What are you concerned about? What's the concern?
That he's been hurt and he was shaky in the minor leagues. I'm glad he shut out the White Sox for four innings. I hope he can continue it, but I'm not like ready to say Lorenzen's back, baby.
I'm not saying that either, but he can be who he's been. He doesn't need to be their ace of the rotation. He doesn't need to go out.
No, he doesn't need to be their
seven or eight shutout innings.
Tommy, they don't have a lot of room to lose games down the stretch here. So if I'm looking at like their chances to make up four games over the stretch, I think the offense is back. All I'm saying is the thing I think that could keep them from it right now, if we're talking bullpen, rotation, lineup, it's what's been funny for me is that it's kind of come back to the rotation. It's because of all these injuries, but Burgert will make a big difference there. The attention is on Seth Lugo. The problem is you got to be solid kind of five times out of five if you're going to rattle off whatever it was that we said. I don't even remember the number now, going 24 and 12 or whatever it is over that last stretch of games. Like you don't have much room for non-solid performances and they can get there. They can, but that to me, like that's the thing to watch the most is can what's been a patchwork rotation and that they've done a really good job of patching together. Can it hold up for this stretch of games? Because I think the offense is back. I think the offense is back and good.
I mean, I think
the bullpen can get them there still, even despite the injury.
I'm ready to give them a tremendous amount of credit for continuing to be able to put a rotation that is viable out on the field.
Unbelievable.
I may be missing one, maybe, but I can only think of one game that was a bullpen game that the Royals threw out there. And that was the finale against the Braves. It was right before the trade deadline, right before they acquired Burgert and all and Kolek and all of that. And Bailey Falter, I think they started Zerpa in that game. I can't think of another game that they threw a bullpen game. Like they've been able to put out viable starting pitching throughout the entire season. Now I will concede that it's concerning that your prized deadline move in the extension with Seth Lugo is the one guy that is not really delivering and not really performing. That I'll concede that to you. You've got him locked in, and he's been throwing meatballs the last couple of weeks. That is concerning. I will concede that. Yeah, for sure. I'll concede that, but I don't have a level of concern really with anybody else right now in that rotation. They've been able to show that, you know, even Lorenzen coming back from injury, that he looks right. He looks okay. He looks like he's back to, you know, being who he needs to be down the stretch for Kansas City. And so other than Lugo, and that's a major concern. I'll concede that to you. I don't have a lot of concerns anywhere else in that rotation.
It's wild that you consider Bubic an all-star, done, Reagan's a Cy Young candidate, done, and they've still been able to pitch the way that they've pitched. It is wild to think about it that way. Lugo is a concern. There's no other way to slice it. I hope he can find it back. He says he feels right. He doesn't look like it. But if he's down, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he's down, now you're stretched out. You've got to either use Falter again. Maybe you can use Kolek. That's where I hope he's fine. And I hope these other guys can step it up, because there's a chance his starts are shorter than they have been. I hope Lorenzen's a gamer, though. Like, if Lorenzen's arm is attached to his body, like, he's going to get out there and try to get you where you need to in a game. He's done that all year. He hasn't been lights out for a while, but he carries his 4.5 ERA into every game. And he's like, you know what? Like, let's just get after it here and go. It's Cameron and now potentially the addition of Burgert that have been so.
And Waka. Waka's been really good lately, too.
He's been nails all year for them. Yeah. He's been better than people, I think, even anticipated. But it's going to take all of them. If they're going to get there, it's going to be tough.
And it's going to be Waka tonight. I love the fact that he gets to start off this series. If you can continue this win streak, if you can get game number one of this tough series at home,
at the right time.
You are, for sure.
They're like up against the ropes, stumbling around. Like, you got to deliver the knockout blow.
And you are now, as the Royals, you are now ahead of them in the wild card standings.
Yep.
And so you can gain more ground and basically KO them and get them out of the picture.
It's a tremendous opportunity for the Royals at home this week and their postseason chances to take one of the teams that are going to be contending with them and put them away. They can do that in this series. We'll have more on that. Jalen Thompson joins us in a little bit. We'll come back another hour of Sports Daily. Stick around. Hey, what's up there, everybody? Welcome in to another Sports Daily. We've got a big hour for you coming up. We will preview NFL divisions. We'll start with the NFC South today. That's coming up in just a little bit. Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, also here. We'll ask him what his biggest concern is down the stretch. What would be the thing that keeps the Royals out of the postseason or helps them get in, as they got some work to do. Down four games. They got it started nicely with a sweep over the White Sox. We'll get into all of that throughout the hour here. Can't wait for college football to start this week. Unbelievable. We'll have you fully covered there all week long. Everything we got coming for you is on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. With the just-announced Kansas Lager Fest, join WBC along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Good weekend, everybody. Glad we're all here. Tommy, college football. Can you believe college football starts? I just saw some of Fitz's crew checking in from Dublin. Sounds like they're making the travel there. We have this week, I was talking to some KU fans over the weekend. Like, we have one of the more exciting times of the year. Week zero, you have two different situations. You've got K-State, who we think we have a decent grasp on, playing perhaps its biggest game of the season overseas, huge rivalry in Ireland to open the year. And then you've got KU with the 8 billion questions we have about KU, playing in week zero at home, unveiling a new stadium and doing all of those things. Like, it is buzzing, man. Like, college football's buzzing this year.
What's crazy about KU, I saw this stat over the weekend, that this is only the second time in 11 years that the Jayhawks are double-digit favorites over an FBS team. Only the second time since 2014. You know, they've played some cupcake games over the years that obviously they're, you know, double-digit favorites for in those. But this is only the second time in 11 years that they're double-digit favorites over an FBS team in Fresno State. And, I think that it's
a combo. Does that make you
nervous? No, honestly, it doesn't. I mean, I think that as of right now, I'm probably going to lay those points. Primarily, it's a combination of the fact that you've got – with all the unknowns with Kansas, you still have Lance Leipold and Jalen Daniels there. And then you have the first game back in Lawrence in basically 2 years all together in this brand new stadium. I think that it's going to be a pretty phenomenal homecoming for the Jayhawks. So as of right now, I understand why this spread is what it is. And I think if I might change, I'm going to reserve the right to, you know, maybe make a change in that when we actually make our picks on Friday. But as of right now on Monday, I think I'd probably lay those points.
Oh boy. I don't like it. I think my actual money is going to just go to the over. I think the bigger questions for KU this year for me come defensively. I think they're going to be okay on offense. I don't think that it feels very like a very small chance that some of the issues KU faced early in the season offensively last year between play calling and whether or not Daniels was 100% right. Like all of those things seem to be behind us now. So I think they'll be okay on offense. I think they've brought in people. They'll be fine. It's defense where I have the most questions. And I think early in this season, you could see some shootout city for KU. The problem is on both sides of the ball for KU is we really don't have, like, I trust Jalen Daniels now after the way he was able to finish last year. He started to look healthy again. Like I trust that everything's fine there, and I trust Lance Leipold. But, you know, it's a lot of different players. Like, it's just, that's the reality. I actually like Daniel Hyshaw quite a bit.
So do I.
I think he got overshadowed because Devin Neal became such a great player. But there were plenty of times in the last handful of years, whatever, where I look at Hyshaw and I'm like, man, this guy's got some juice.
He's good. He had a hard time staying healthy, and a lot of it is due to his running style. He's a wrecking ball out there. And so that was I think that's been a major issue in his time wearing a Kansas uniform. I don't think that that's anything you change. I don't think that you're like, hey, now that you're the lead back, you need to be a little bit more, you know, delicate in the way that you run. I don't think that's the right strategy. I think you just sort of roll with him in the way that he is. And cross your fingers and hope that he can stay healthy. But they've got they probably, at least as of right now at first glance, don't have quite the level of depth at running back. I mean, obviously, when you lose Devin Neal, you're not going to have that. So right. I don't think you've got as full of a running back room as you've had in years past. But if you can lean on somebody like Daniel Hyshaw to be your lead back, he's going to bring you some success. For me, the big question mark is, what does the passing game look like? You're replacing a lot of wide receivers. You don't have Grimm. You don't have Arnold. But I mean, from all accounts, it sounds like, you know, this Emmanuel Henderson kid from Alabama could be a playmaker and could be, you know, somebody that's a top target early on. That's my big question is, who is Daniels going to be able to throw the ball to? Who can step up and be, you know, your wide receiver one and have a lot of success in catching passes?
I agree. I think if you told me, I agree. I think Daniels is going to make any of these guys better. If you tell me that Daniel Hyshaw is healthy all year, KU's offense is going to be good. You know, Hyshaw has averaged more than, like, there have been times where he's like a 6 yards a carry guy. Like, he is an impactful running back. If you tell me he can stay healthy, I'm kind of in on the offense. It's the defense with the secondary losses and all the things that we've seen there.
Yeah, you don't have Kobe Bryant. You don't have Melo Dotson. You don't have those guys anchoring your secondary.
They grew, you know, early on in this rebuild for Leipold, the defense was kind of an afterthought, right? They've kind of grown into a good defense over the last couple of years. And so that's, to me, where the big question mark comes in an early game against Fresno State. Could it just kind of get into where they just have to track meet somebody, which I think they will. So I kind of like the over there. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how to set expectations for KU. I really don't. Until we see him play. Like, it's just It's different than, like, when we set expectations for the NFL, when players move around, we kind of know about the players that are moving around. Other than the rookies, like, we know what guys are. The transfer portal, like, I don't know what these guys are doing. I don't know half the players they brought in. Did you ever hear of Emmanuel Wilson before?
Emmanuel Henderson. Yeah.
Did you ever hear him before, no. You know, camp this year?
Nope.
Right. Like, that's what gets really hard. We got to see them play a little bit to get a good read on it.
What I really like, though, about Saturday's game, and don't get me wrong, Fresno State, they're not a juggernaut out there, right? But you're going to get probably a more true assessment of who this team is after week zero, as opposed to, you know, if they're playing an FCS
team.
Totally
agree.
Right? If they're playing a, you know, South Dakota State, or they're playing, you know, Rhode Island, which they've done, you know, a lot over the years. I like the fact that you're kind of right off the bat, you're taking on a team that should challenge you in some ways. And, you know, it's very easy to have a cupcake game to start off your season and you win 56-7, right? And that you don't really have a true assessment of this team. And I want to know what we're working with here right out of the gate. And I think that you're going to get an opportunity, honestly, in both of these games, more so with Kansas State and Iowa State. It might be their biggest game of the season. But I think after this week zero matchup for both teams, I think we'll have a pretty good assessment of what we're working with here.
K-State's potentially playing for a Big 12 championship this weekend. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how to quantify the magnitude of that game. You're talking about two of the teams we feel like that could be there at the end playing across the globe in a game to start the year. It's already a rivalry game. This game counts. Like, this is just a massively important game for both of these schools. Like, what's going to happen in their season? If KU came out and laid an egg and lost to Fresno State, it wouldn't matter, really. Like, it wouldn't even be, like, it would be irrelevant. This game with K-State and Iowa State, like, I applaud them for playing it. It would be like starting the year with Michigan, Ohio State. It would be like starting the year with Auburn, Alabama. Now, I'm not trying to say it's that kind of rivalry as much as just saying, like, those massive magnitude games get played late in seasons when they are conference games. It's a conference game with that kind of magnitude. And they play it right out of the gates. So I kind of like K-State. We just, like, we know what they've got coming back. We know more about them and what Arizona State probably than any teams in the league. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody of teams. Like, we kind of know what to expect. We know what K-State wants to do. We know that Arizona State and kind of what they want to, you know, Iowa State to some degree, but, like, this feels like a game that we'd be seeing in November, and we're seeing it on whatever, August 23rd or whatever it is.
I think you probably, after this game in Dublin, you'll learn more about Iowa State than you will about Kansas State. I think we kind of have a general idea about the Wildcats.
We know what to expect out of the Wildcats.
Outside of Rocco Becht, I don't know if there's a whole lot of things firm right there for Iowa State.
I'm kind of excited that they get to play the game early because Iowa State's missing their top receivers and they've got so much to turn over. All right, when we come back, let's preview the NFC South here as we begin that process for the 2025 season. Don't go away from Sports Daily. Come your way right after that.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. If you want to win a free week of Swing 365 Golf, it's a private simulator on the east side that you can rent out. You go in. You've got the Shot Suite Simulator, which is what the pros play on, the pro league that you see.
The full swing simulator. It's fantastic.
Full swing.
Yeah.
Full swing simulator. And you can, that's what they play on. It's like when you see them on ESPN playing in those sim, it's the same simulator, full swing. That's right. But it's at Swing 365. It's awesome. You can get in there. You can get in there for a week on us right now by texting the keyword swing to 20357. Swing 20357. Get you a week in there. I need to get back in there, Tommy. Work on my swing. It needs work. Needs all the work it can get.
It's going to be a good opportunity this week. It's going to be hot the first couple days of the week. And so
yeah.
Beat the heat, get in there, the air conditioning, and tune up your game.
All right, let's talk NFC South here as we begin NFL previews. We'll kind of take these division by division. Last year, it was the Buccaneers. It was the monster season by Baker Mayfield. It was that huge offensive year from the Bucs that led them to the division win. They got it by a couple of games over the Falcons. Liam Cohen is gone from there now. Do you, Tommy, think that the Buccaneers are again the team to beat here? Chris Godwin's a little nicked up in the offseason, but it's a lot of things are staying the same from them. They took the receiver in the first round, Emeka Ogbuka. That just adds another weapon to the Baker Mayfield tool chest. It really kind of comes down to I guess your thoughts on Baker Mayfield, but are you in on the Bucs again this year?
I am. I think the Bucs are the team to beat this year, but I don't think it's a long-term dynasty, at least in the division, as far as that's concerned for Baker Mayfield. I think that both the Panthers and the Falcons are on the upswing. And I think that it's going to be more challenging. If you go back to last season, the Buccaneers went 4-0 against the Panthers and the Saints. And so when you're able to do that against divisional opponents, it's going to make it that much easier for you to win your division. I know the Falcons were in the mix too towards the end of last season. I think Michael Penix Jr. obviously will continue to solidify himself as the starting quarterback and maybe somebody that can be of success for Atlanta, but I still have them a year away from really contending for a division title. I think the Panthers, as I mentioned, will be better, and the Saints are probably going to finish last in the division, but I'm not sure that that will continue. But for now, at least one more year, yeah, I'm going to say the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll say the Bucs, and I think the Saints will be in last. I agree. I don't know what to make of this. We'll get to the Saints in a second. I think the real interesting thing this year for that division is who's further ahead as a franchise, the Falcons or the Panthers. I don't know what I think that answer is. I think it becomes a question of, are you more in on Bryce Young or are you more in on Michael Penix? I think Young, in his second season, showed us more than Penix in the time he got last year, at least in my opinion. But he's had another year to do it. I think as I put this division first, like, the thing I keep thinking about is, like, man, if this were my team, which franchise would I rather be a fan of right now? Whose future is brighter, the Falcons or the Panthers? Panthers just drafted Tet McMillan, who's my favorite player in last year's draft. Who would you rather be if you're those two teams, and who do you think finishes ahead of the other? The Falcons have the advantage because they finished higher last year. They, of course, have Bijan Robinson, who's really good. You like Drake London. You like Darnell Mooney. I'm not so sure I wouldn't say the Panthers, though, at this point.
See, I disagree with you. I think it's less about the actual quarterback, at least for this coming season. It may be down the road, but right now it's less about the quarterback and more about just the overall roster construction, the collection of talent. The Panthers, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Panthers' defense has been fun. They've been awful. They've been so terrible. They allowed over 31 points a game. Points per game a season ago. And that, hopefully, you would think that maybe that gets a little bit better this coming season for Carolina. But Dave Canales has his work cut out for him, especially defensively with this team. And then from a playmaker perspective, I mean, honestly, the Falcons have a better collection of overall playmaker talent in the skill positions. Drake London and Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts is still there as the tight end. They've got a better collection of overall playmaker talent. They just do. For this season, it might be different down the road, but right now,
yeah,
the Falcons have a better collection of talent.
I agree. I mean, you're not going to beat Robinson in London.
If you like Bryce Young more than Michael Penix Jr., and that's totally fine, and I think I probably do as well. The overall body of work, the roster from top to bottom, is better in Atlanta right now than it is in Carolina.
Let me make my point clear. Yes, I am picking Atlanta over Carolina this year. I'm just saying, like, for the long-term future, which of these franchises would I rather be a fan of? Bryce Young's story last year didn't get enough run after the grief he was taken. He got benched last year for Andy Dalton, and he looked good when he came back. And he is easy to root for. I think their season will be one of the more interesting seasons for the teams we expect to not be in any way, shape, or form a contender. I will take Atlanta this year. My question with Atlanta this year is, can Penix be good enough? Because if you told me that Penix is pretty good, I think they can contend with the Bucs for the division. I really do. Like, they have enough there.
They contended for the division with
all on Penix.
They contended for the division with Kirk Cousins for most of last season, and very nearly caught them. He wasn't good, and ultimately got benched in favor of Michael Penix Jr. So, I mean, I certainly think that the Bucs are. I'm not going to say the Bucs are in decline yet, but I certainly think the Bucs are. They've peaked. They've leveled off. And they're probably still good enough to win the division this season. But I do think both the Falcons and the Panthers in varying degrees are on the upswing. And so I think it's going to be an extremely interesting division next season. But this season, one more year at least, I still think you have to take the Bucs.
You know, I actually don't think the Bucs have peaked. I think they got better offensively. I think Bucky Irving's the real deal. I think Ibuka is a stud. I know we're going to, and their win total, I was just looking, is at 9.5, by the way. We'll look at all these in just a second. I like that over. I don't think they've peaked because I think Baker Mayfield has plenty left in the tank. I think Mike Evans still has enough left in the tank. Godwin's injury to me is offset a little bit by Ibuka. I actually like Jalen McMillan, the guy they took moderately early a couple of years ago. I think he's pretty good. And I think their defense, of all these teams, their defense is better than all these other defenses. So I don't think they've peaked. I think they could win 11 games this year. And I think they've – I'm so happy for Baker Mayfield because I'm a fan of his. I just think that they're – I think that they could easily win a playoff game. So I guess I don't know what their peak is. But I don't think they're going to start declining, I guess, anytime soon because I think they're doing exactly what they need to do. Their big question for me is they lose a play caller. Coming off of a year where everything seemed to be working perfect for them offensively, what is the, you know, what is the thing, you know, what lingers from that, I suppose. But 9.5 wins, I think they can get to 10 again. 10's where they were last year.
It's tough if you look at their overall schedule. I mean,
their schedule's going to be tougher. Yeah.
Let's assume that I'm going to assume this, that they go 4-2 in their division, that they win both games against the Saints and they split against the Falcons and the Panthers. I think that's a fair assumption to make. So let's say 4-2 in the division. From there, you take a look at their non-con. It's a difficult non-conference slate for them. They play the Eagles. They play the Seahawks. They play the 49ers. They play the Lions. They play the Bills, the Rams, and the Dolphins, and the Cardinals. Those are their non-conference matchups. If they go 4-2 in the division, you've got to find 6 other non-conference wins for them to get to 10. And with that slate, I mean, you're talking the Lions in Detroit. You're talking the Bills in Buffalo. They do get the Eagles at home and the 49ers at home, but those are going to be tough matchups. It's hard, I think, to find another 6 wins in the non-con for them. So again, I like the Buccaneers and I'm picking them to win the division. That 9.5, that's really difficult for me.
It's a savvy point. It's a savvy point. And if that is the case, if they can't get to 10, they are going to have a hard time winning the division because I think Atlanta will be flirting around 500. And I think the Panthers, you know, the Panthers ceiling, like their upside could get them to 7 or 8 wins. So we're talking a thin margin of error. Kaufman Ghetto asks us on X if we think the NFC South is the weakest division in the NFL. No, I don't. I think the AFC South is significantly weaker. I think if you go, like if we were to take it down the list, I think every team in the NFC South is, I would take over every team in the, like I would take the Bucks over the Texans. I would take the Falcons over the Colts. I would take the Panthers over the Jaguars. And I would probably take the Saints over the Titans. Maybe not that one. But yeah, no, I think the AFC South is weaker. I think, but I do think it's, is it the second weakest?
Yeah, I think both.
Maybe.
I think both.
But it depends on what do you think of the AFC East? Because Buffalo's really good, but the Jets are going to suck. Max, close your ears. The Patriots aren't going to be nearly as good as people say they are. And I think the Dolphins take a step back. I don't know. It's probably more like that.
Well, we'll wait till we actually do our AFC East preview. But I'm higher on the Patriots this year than clearly you are.
Thought messing with Max mostly. Yeah.
I would say though the NFC South is probably the second weakest division.
Yeah, I think so.
Both divisions are not particularly good, and it's been that way for a minute now, right? Like it's been the last couple of years. You know, outside of flashes in the pan, like the Texans had a good year a couple of years ago, like all of that. That by and large, both South divisions have been among the weakest in the NFL.
Yeah. It's second or third, but yeah, it's right there. But no, the AFC South to me is weaker. I think all the arrows, not the Saints right now. I don't know what to think of the Saints, but at least with the Falcons and the Panthers and the Bucks, I do think all the arrows are pointed upward. And I think for the Falcons and the Panthers, they're probably pointed mostly up.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, going back to the Bucs, I'm going to tell you right now that the only way in my mind that they get hit that over of 9.5, they've got to do better than 4-2 in the division, which means they've got to sweep two of the three teams. And I think the Saints are probably the foregone conclusion that they'll probably be able to do that. You can't drop either one of those games against New Orleans. But then from there, either Atlanta or Carolina, the Bucs are going to have to sweep one of those two teams at home and on the road. I just don't see a path with a lot of the other non-conference games for them to get to 10 wins, unless you steal one against a team that we consider a contender this season.
I agree. That's not a bet I'll make. I don't make any, but if I had to make 5 or 10, it wouldn't be one I would make. I agree with that. Are the Saints going to be the worst team in football?
Yeah, I think so. Now I'm different than you in the regard that I like Kellen Moore. And I think from all accounts, it sounds like this entire roster has bought in, and I don't know if there's another first-year head coach that has had the buy-in from his roster like Kellen Moore has had with the Saints. I mean, like I don't feel that with Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. Like, I don't necessarily feel that with Aaron Glenn in New York.
Schottenheimer in Dallas is getting people bought in.
But I think ahead of everybody else, it's Kellen Moore and the Saints. The problem is he just doesn't have the roster, I think, to be able to compete and win a bunch of games this season. It definitely hurts that Derek Carr abruptly retired, and you've got a starting quarterback race between Tyler Shook and Spencer Rattler. You know, like, just that by itself, you're like, okay, like, that's not ideal, obviously, for them. I mean, I know that they've got some playmakers still, and Olave and Alvin Kamara and all of that, but I think they'll be one of, if not the worst teams in the NFL. And in my mind, it's not any fault of Kellen Moore's if they are.
They've had a decent defense that could bail him out a little bit. I need to clarify on Kellen Moore. I did not like Kellen Moore as a candidate for the Cowboys. I did not like Kellen Moore with Dak Prescott with the Cowboys. I think Kellen Moore's done a really good job everywhere else. And I think Kellen Moore started with the Cowboys doing a really good job. Just wasn't going to work with Dak as the quarterback. And so as he was a candidate for the Cowboys job, yes, I hated that idea. I don't hate the idea of him as a head coach. He was once the brightest star. And look, he's been touching gold with everything he's done the last couple of years. I think it was a great hire for New Orleans. I just didn't think it was a good fit for Dallas. But I believe in Kellen Moore. I do think he's got a chance to be a good head coach. I think there's a chance he could also be Cliff Kingsbury. So we'll find that out, right? Is he just a great offensive mind? Does he have what? You never know that either.
And it's going to be like, going back to my point, that may very well be true. I don't think you're going to know this season because you don't have the personnel. Right. Like, you know, like, he might be a Cliff Kingsbury, but if the competition is Tyler Shook and Spencer Rattler, you're not going to get a true gauge on who this guy is until you actually have some talent there.
Begs this question and remove the vomit from your mouth. Should they have drafted Shedeur Sanders?
No, I think that they should have traded for Kirk Cousins. I think that Cousins probably could have given them. They still could. I mean, an interdivision trade is always hard. But Cousins is sitting there as Penix's backup, and I know the Falcons exercised the option. I feel like Cousins may have one final run in him left as a starting quarterback, and I would say the Saints are the neediest quarterback team in the entire NFL.
They want Arch Manning. They're in the Arch. I mean, come on, Archie to Arch. Yeah. Like, they want Arch Manning. The question becomes, who's, like, of the teams that are going, that you immediately think of in the Arch Manning sweepstakes way, 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 way too early, it'll be them and the Jets. And I think the Jets have a better chance to win games than the Saints do.
Archie already said that Arch is not going to declare next season. He's already come out and said that. They, like, just go ahead and
see that. Really?
Oh yeah. Archie said, like, stop asking the question. Arch is going to continue to play in college.
Okay. All right. Hey, Arch, you're going to be the number one overall pick. No, come on. No, he's not. I don't believe that for a second. I kind of hope it's true, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, this was a week ago. The headline in the New York Times, Archie Manning says grandson Arch will remain at Texas next season and skip the 2026 NFL draft. So that was a week ago.
I'm sure it's because he doesn't want those questions asked about him all season. I don't believe it. I don't believe him. Now, the Manning family, listen. Arch has got a little – he's got some cachet in this, deciding draft decisions with Eli and all that stuff.
His uncle Peyton returned for his senior season at Tennessee back in the day and didn't declare.
Doesn't need the money, I wouldn't think.
I'm not going to play for this team. I want to play for that one. Like, there is a precedent for this.
What if he wins a natty? What if they win a natty and the Saints are in position for number one overall pick?
I mean, first off, I don't think they're going to win the natty. I mean, I like Texas. Don't get me wrong.
Preseason number one.
They're a really, really good team. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think they're going to win the natty.
Well, I know, but they've got as good a chance as anybody on August 18th.
Sure. Yeah.
When we're talking,
Texas
about
is number three, by the way.
Not in the. I think they were one in the coaches. They were one in one of them. I think. I'll have to go back and look. It's not that important. They're at least a contender. That's going to be a fun story. I did not see that from Arch E. That'll be fun to watch.
I take it back. Texas is number one in
Okay.
In the AP top 25, they're number one.
We're spiraling. That's because this division is. I put them first for a reason. They're not the most interesting division in the NFL by any means, but. We'll see what happens with it. That's your first divisional preview here with us on Sports Daily. We both have the Bucks winning it. We both have the Saints losing it. it's one of the more cut and dries that there is in the NFL.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we are joined by our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, Royals baseball right here on KFH tonight. Royals host the Rangers at 6:30, pregame coverage beginning on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. You can listen to KFHradio.com, download the free Odyssey app, search for KFH. You can find Jalen's work on it at the KC Star. Follow him on X at Jalen Thompson. Jalen, it was a sweep that they had to have it. They had to have it, and they had it. And we're feeling pretty good on a Monday.
Yeah, you're feeling pretty good. You know, this Royals team has the shades of the 2024 team that made the playoffs last year. I think for a lot of fans, they were waiting for this moment to arrive all season. Just consistent baseball. A team that you look like the team that everyone was riding for when they made it to the ALDS last year against the Yankees. And ironically, you have to chase down the Yankees now if you want to make the playoffs. So I think the vibes are pretty good, but this is the real test now. Have the Texas Rangers in town for four, and then you go on the road and you play the Detroit Tigers this weekend. So we'll see what happens.
I feel like, Jalen, that this series against the White Sox that we just wrapped up, all phases of baseball were on display at one point or another in the three games. You had really solid starting pitching from all three guys that were out on the hill. Noah Cameron on Friday, Michael Lorenzen had a good return. He only pitched four innings, but was pretty lights out in those four innings on Saturday. Ryan Burgert pitched really well yesterday outside of a first inning home run to Sosa. So the starting pitching was really good throughout the entire weekend. The offense was unlocked. I know yesterday's game, they were held down until late, but overall, all three games, the offense came alive, and the bullpen did what they needed to do as well. So at one point or another, all phases were kind of unlocked, and there's not a whole lot of like feeling disappointed in one area or another after this weekend series.
Yeah, I think yesterday's game was a prime example of a game that the Royals would have lost earlier this season. They would have been shut down. The offense wouldn't have done anything, and that would have been just a loss in the record books. But what you're seeing is a team that now believes that they can make this run. And I think a lot of that goes back to the veteran leadership that they brought in at the trade deadline. You didn't have Randall Grichuk or Mike Yastrzemski or Adam Frazier in that lineup. You had guys that were on the team last year that were strong, but they were still young and growing up in this game. You bring Adam Frazier back, and he's been hitting the cover off the ball since he's came back from the Pirates. You get Mike Yastrzemski, who's had a couple of leadoff homers, been great in that role. Then you were able to drop Jonathan India down in the lineup. And even though he won't say it's been a help for him, he just wants to do anything to help the team win. It's been great for him and just his ability to just help add another right-handed bat at the bottom of that order. And I think the Royals now have a team that is dangerous, like you said, Tommy, in different areas and different aspects. And it's all clicking together.
Yeah, at least they can win games in more than one way now. It's going to take, as close to perfect for baseball as you can get down the stretch if they're going to do this thing. If you had a concern about one phase of their game, where would you be the most concerned about doing this special thing they're going to have to do?
Yeah, Jacob, I wouldn't say that it's one particular area. I would look at a couple of guys. One is Seth Lugo. I think Seth Lugo has really struggled with the last couple of starts. He says that he's healthy and his finger's not bothering him, but the results on the field have not been what Seth Lugo has looked like ever since he signed that contract extension to stay with the Royals. So he has to turn it around. I feel like the starting pitching is solid once you get Cole Reagans back, and then you might have something. But to answer your question, Jacob, I would say it's got to be the pitching staff. I think the offense has turned it around. I think that they're scoring runs, and this is what they can continue to do the rest of the season. Now it's going to be on the starting pitching to get healthy, get ready to go, and make this run if it's going to happen.
What has the addition of Adam Frazier done for this dugout? He is hitting the cover off the ball as of late. I think I saw on the broadcast yesterday, he's batting 480 or something in like his last 30 at-bats. I mean, it's crazy what he's been able to do. But beyond just his individual contributions, I know that the Royals have loved his veteran leadership and all of that. What has he brought to this team?
Adam Frazier was the one that, Tommy, that made all the team dinners happen on the road. He was the guy that got the team together, made sure that they were all just interacting with each other, and they all love him in that clubhouse. He's just a guy that you can really just come to for advice if you need it. He's down to do whatever. I mean, he brings it together. He's just a vet that you look up to, right? For a lot of those younger players out there. I mean, just think of what he's done, not only to help from the left-handed side of the plate, but some of those infielders for Bobby Witt Jr. and Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino and the like. They all just come up and they love just Adam Frazier being there. And I think they really missed him not having him earlier this season. And so he was like one of the prime options that they really wanted to get back. And they are happy that they did.
I got to go back. You said Cole Reagans come back. Do you really think Cole Reagans can pitch for this team down the stretch?
I think so. I think Cole Reagans will be back. He's throwing bullpens again, and he's got to keep building up the bullpen plan until he gets to a point where he can go on a rehab assignment. But you can't make a playoff run without Cole Reagans. And I think that they are bringing him along slowly so that he can be ready to go when they need him the most. And I know you can make an argument, Jacob, and say that you need him the most right now, right? But I think that he'll be back, and I think that maybe their timeline, they said, is the beginning of September. So we'll see if he's back in the next 2 weeks or so.
What do you think the strategy is in the next, both in the short term and down the stretch this season with Jack Caglione as he works his way back? He's doing a rehab assignment right now in AAA, and from all accounts, it sounds like he is outstanding, again, hitting the cover off the baseball like he did the last time around. Is this something where the Royals may leave him down there a little bit longer to continue to build his confidence back up? Do they feel like they need him right away with the additions they made at the trade deadline? What is that strategy that we're looking at with him?
Yeah, Tommy, it's a numbers game, right? So you can only have so many players on your big league roster. And I think for Jack Caglione, they'll keep him down. This is me, my opinion. I think they'll keep him down until September when he can expand the rosters, and then you can bring him up without having to sacrifice somebody that's already on your team right now. He can't learn anything else in AAA. he's already mastered that level. We've seen him time and time again. He has to learn at the big league level. And I think the Royals know that. I think he knows that. But for him to just get confidence where he can come back up and be like, all right, I'm Jack Caglione again. And maybe that will be the shot in the arm that the Royals need. And also the team is different too. The dynamics of the team, I should say, is different because they have right field help now. You have Randall Grichuk and you have Mike Yastrzemski that can play right field. So you don't have to always put him out in the field. You can use him as a DH. You can save Salvi and use him some at first base to give him some rest when he's not behind the plate. There's so many things you can do, but I think that his bat has to be up here at the big league level, and I think it will.
Jalen, how many of these games do they need to win? They don't get a day off for a long time, so let's look at it that way. The next 12 games that they'll play, I think it are 13, maybe it is. Over those 13 games, if they're really going to hang in this thing, still four games back, what does that have to look like? 9-4? 8-5?
Yeah, I think 9-4, 8-5 is a safe bet, I think.
Yeah.
The key is to win the series. That's always been the case. Bobby Cox, longtime Braves manager, said all the time, win the series and everything will take care of itself, right? I think the Royals have to win a couple of series. Really, if they take 3 out of 4 against the Rangers, then you are really in a good spot because you just went 8-2 at home, which is great, right?
They're going to need help. They're going to need help.
Either way.
No matter what.
It's
tough.
Either way, you're going to be good. And you just need the Yankees to fall off. And I don't know if they will, but they have a tough September coming up.
Yeah, I don't know how much I believe in the Yankees. Jalen, what do you have going for us at the KC Star right now?
Well, I got a couple of stories, you know, up on the website. If you want to learn more about Ryan Burger and why he's here to stay for the Royals, that story is up on the website. I have a couple more stories about just yesterday's game and why it meant a lot for the Royals if they're going to make the playoff run. And, you know, a couple other features in there as well. I can't give away everything now. You got to go check it out.
You can find it at Jalen Thompson on X. Go see the work of the KC Star. Jalen, we appreciate it. Buckle up.
Thank you guys so much. And before I go, I heard you say the Bucks are going to win the NFC South. No.
Okay, here
Atlanta comes. Falcons.
Here all day.
I don't know about that.
Penix from the top rope. Huh? He's going to have to be better than the limited time we saw him last year if they're going to make that kind of move.
He will.
Okay. There's the Falcons fan, Jalen. I like it. I appreciate that.
See you guys later.
Appreciate that jab. There goes Jalen Thompson. They could do it. Falcons could do it. I don't think it would stun anybody.
Like nothing I said, I think the Falcons are on the upswing. I think that
I do too. I think after they're on the upswing, this season, I think the Panthers are on the upswing. I think they're both on the upswing. I just think the Bucks are at the up.
I think
the
if we're talking good. The 2026 season, I don't think I'm picking the Buccaneers next season. I think it's going to probably be the Falcons.
Right, man, Bucky Irving's a G, and. Those receivers, they are loaded. I don't know how much longer Mike Evans is going to play. I mean, I guess there's a world where they could have Edwins and
Evans.
Mike Evans, Evans and Godwin. Just combine their names to Edwins. They could fall off at the same time, maybe. But they've done it. I think Tampa's done one of the sneakier jobs in the NFL over the years, but we'll preview another NFL division tomorrow. We'll get you ready for the Royals tonight. I love this kind of baseball stresses me out. It has been a stressful couple of baseball weeks, the Rangers free fall lately, and the Royals kind of not ever being able to just rattle it off like they're supposed to has been stressful. And now they play each other. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, who do you cheer for in this series? I mean, I know for me.
Who I cheer for?
You got to cheer for the Rangers, right? Because you're a Rangers guy.
Yeah.
When the Braves and Royals played last month, obviously I'm a Braves fan first, but the Royals have more to play for than the Braves did. So I was able to just get behind the Royals, and it's different.
Words out of my mouth. If the Rangers are out of it, I want one of them to be in it.
Yeah.
So It is a pull. Like, I want one of them to be in it. I mean, for us here, obviously, the Royals. For work, the Royals. But it's just, I'm just going to watch and try not to lose my mind one way or the other. That's going to do it for us on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. We'll continue NFL previews tomorrow. We'll have our Chiefs insider Felix Johnson in. What did he take away from the second preseason game? What's he looking for in the third? If you want to win some HTO on the way out here today, a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from at East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby, text the keyword tea to 20357. Good luck there. It's been a great day. We'll be back with it tomorrow. Tommy, Max, Jacob, see you then.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.